This is the naked city, the city within the city, like an ugly wound, laid raw. The naked city.
It's time for another rambunctious, mind-popping, heart-stopping, lobe-lopping, huge and whopping edition of The Naked City, of course, brought to you by Sydney Film School. Challenge the status quo, people. SydneyFilmSchool.com. Now join us for the next riveting 2 hours as we plunge headlong into a cornucopia of subterranea. You know there are millions of stories in this naked city, but today we've only got time for a few of them. And now your hosts, Miss Death, Coffin Ed, and of course myself, if I don't have a little heart attack here, J-Cats.
Now, Miss Death, what is a cornucopia of subterranea? Can you explain that to me?
I've been hearing that line.
But you're the one who said it.
Just because you've got a line and you articulate it doesn't mean you understand that. Our producer has just come in to say good morning to everyone before you get into producing mode. There's a lot of work producing the Naked City, isn't there, Christian?
Lots of coffee drinking.
I got to wrangle the mole people. That's the cornucopia of subterranea. We've got a team of mole people who work on the show.
Yeah.
They're not working hard enough sometimes.
Hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Oh, right. They're all from the Hollow Earth, and they've come up through that hole in George Street. Yeah.
So I got to wrangle the mole people, find tracks. Sydney rock and roll rockabilly types are an endangered species, so you got to tag them, follow them, hunt them down to the Lansdowne, corner them. Usually pretty scared because they're so endangered.
Do you watch them while they're mating?
Yes.
Okay.
Good heavens.
There's lots of tattoos and piercings involved.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's our producer, Coffinhead. How are you? Looking very fuzzy this morning.
He's fiddling around with the knobs.
We've got a really busy show today.
We have, actually.
Well, just for a change.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout-out to anyone listening from the Sydney Zombie Lurch. It's supposed to be the biggest in the world. Good luck, guys.
Now, when is that happening?
I think it's on George Street, the one I was in.
Is it today?
It's today. It's starting at 10 o'clock, and I would be there in full zombie regalia, eating brains, terrifying passerby.
Which means you wouldn't have to dress up at all. You'd just go the way you are.
Oh, my God. Last time was my birthday, and my friends had thrown me a party the night before, and I woke up. I'm like, brains.
Perfect.
Good costume. I'm like, where am I? Brains.
Miss Death, you were at the last zombie lurch, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
It was successful, wasn't it?
It was.
Especially when they went past Campbell's Cash and Carry and everyone was freaking out that zombies were actually... They were going in and out of stores, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
I've got photos if you search Flickr for Chris Brimstone, you can find photos from the last zombie lurch, including zombie mating rituals.
That's where I think the people at APEC really weren't fair at all, because they were doing their own zombie lurch, but they'd actually restricted it to themselves. They weren't letting
people.
In other people in the city do it.
I think they should have actually designed the zombie lurch to coincide with APEC. It would have put a bit of...
Wouldn't have been able to tell which was which.
That's right.
Shotguns versus zombies.
Fantastic. And that's beautiful, that music underneath us. That's Martin Denny.
It's Martin Denny,
it?
A bit
that's
of
lovely,
Latin
Death.
Village, I'm feeling.
Well, listen,
I like a bit of background music. I like a background score to my life. I mean, they have them in the movies and the television series, so why can't I?
Well, I love you deeply, and one day I'm going to get a PA on the truck and just follow you when you go shopping and play you a background score that way.
That'd be
but
nice.
We've just got the dirt on the zombie lurch, and it's at a more appropriate venue. It starts this morning.
It
wouldn't start right now. It starts at St. Andrew's College.
Really?
So I think that, I mean, whether you've ever looked at that college over the decades, I see a lot of zombies coming out of there,
definitely.
You know, before they've even been asked to put their makeup on. So I think that's highly appropriate. So it starts there at 10 o'clock today. There is a website, www.zombiefestivalallonword.org. Look, if you've got up and you've thought, look, I don't have any makeup or anything, just don't go to the shower.
Yeah.
Head down to St. Andrew's College and go for your life.
And what a shame Seth Cook's magic shop's no longer in Oxford Street. Imagine the run on those plastic snaggle teeth.
That's
down
right.
There.
Well, I suppose the pop shop might have a bit of fake blood
gone,
or something.
Pop, shop has
pop shop's
really
gone. Look, there's nothing left. Nothing
How sad
left
is that? That
city.
Was a great store. And look, that a lot of people would have
is
got
Is there
stuff
any colour
the
left in this city? They're just... They're killing all the colour out of it.
Yeah.
Now, look, we're introducing a new segment today.
You're
we
kidding.
Do every week.
Yeah.
The trouble is we don't maintain them.
They don't last, of course.
No.
This one's called Karaoke of the Air, and we're looking for somebody to ring up now. on
833-22-999.
You've got to be an FBI subscriber.
And look, if you're not a subscriber, just don't even bother. Mm.
Don't listen to the station.
Well, you know,
subscribe. It's so cheap. Exactly. It's ridiculous. You know?
We want to call now on 833-22-999. You can win a copy of this incredible DVD, How to Eat Your Watermelon in White Company and Enjoy It.
It's the life story of Melvin Van Peebles.
Mm. Yeah, the man who gave his sweetbacks badass song.
Who revolutionised film, gave us the blaxploitation until they took the guts out of it.
Mm. Yeah, well, gave us real blaxploitation.
Absolutely.
It's out now on DV1.
What's the idea here? We want people to phone in and we want them to sing over the top of a track.
The Naked City.
Yeah, the Naked City track.
The Naked City track. Yeah.
I'm ready, poised.
Weeks ago.
Finger hovering over the start button.
This is a classic, rare old 45, isn't it?
Let's play it so people can hear it. Maybe they'll be more inclined to ring in once they've heard it.
Yeah, I think we have a caller now.
Oh, we do.
We've got a caller. Okay, we're just
going
to put them straight onto the air.
There we go. Hello, hello.
G'day. I'm willing to make an arse of myself.
Okay, yeah. Let's keep it clean. Let's keep it clean. It's a family show.
Now, what's your name?
My name's Tom. It's my birthday today. Happy birthday, man.
How old do you turn? Can we ask you that?
Of course you can. 28. I'm not ashamed of it yet.
28. What a fantastic
age. Well, you shouldn't be. Not at 28.
This is the prime of your life, baby. Anything can happen.
Really primed at the moment.
What are you doing with your life?
I'm actually working today.
Oh, really?
I'm driving around couriering. Going right in the Eastern Distributor Tunnel right now.
Missed Death's son. Yeah, let's hope you're not on a mobile. But
he's on a landline.
Miss Death's son is actually a courier. She knows the ins and outs of that one. You're in and out of tunnels every day long. It's an incredible job. You so need to Freudian. Really focus.
Very Freudian.
So you know, you really have to put up with awesome driving ability from motorists all day. It's really good. It doesn't push me to the edge at all.
You'll just have to sing along a little bit, and then if your singing's up to standard, you win this beautiful...
And we don't want you to leave the line after you've sung, because I'll take your particulars to send the DVD. As far as I'm concerned, Tom, doing that job and it's your birthday, you won already, but let's try this song.
All right, let's do it.
Hang on.
Here in the naked city where I live,
you only have to do the chorus.
The city streets where they riot, down on the corner, watching the fire.
Get ready, Tom.
Here in the sky, the sparks are flying high. Here in the city streets is where I cry, there by the wayside.
It's coming up, be patient.
Yeah, I'm trying to be.
Here by the parkside, somebody.
Let's give Tom a hand.
Naked City.
Come on, Tom.
Naked City. It's just naked, Tom. Naked City.
Will you listen to me?
I think that was brilliant.
Now, what we probably should have done, I'll just bring that down a little bit, was actually given him the lyrics too.
Yeah,
I mean,
that would have helped.
You people don't know how to run a competition, clearly.
Tom, you're a winner as far as I'm concerned.
Come on.
Tom, you're a winner as far as I'm concerned. Stay on the line. We're going to send you from DV1, and thank you very much to DV1. This is the most awesome documentary. Once you see this, you're going to give up couriering and you're going to take over this planet. So just stay on that line and we'll cut back to the show.
Okay.
Yes, it's the Naked City. You know, the naked one.
The Naked City.
The Naked City on FBI.
Yes, the Naked City here on FBI 94.5. What was that track we just played, Jake?
Well, that was actually from one of the films that's actually been banned. The censor won't let it be screened for the Melbourne Underground Film Festival. It came out of Germany in the late 60s, and I thought it's highly appropriate for sleazeball. It was Schulmeichen Report, Schoolgirl Report. It was a whole new series of exploitation films based on sexy teenagers at school, and it became such a big fad in Germany that to turn into an endless TV series. But, you know, those people have a relaxed state of mind when it comes to censorship, and we still don't have that.
That's right.
I mean, this is quite innocent, softcore fun from the late 60s, early 70s.
It's called pedophilia.
And it's a missed death, and it has been banned because of the Australian censor.
There you go. Well, look, the Sydney Sleaze Ball, as I mentioned at the start of the program, it's one of those events that's now ingrained.
It's legendary.
It's ingrained into the iconography of the Sydney social calendar, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we have two of the organisers from the Sleaze Ball with us today. Danielle, welcome to the Naked City.
Thank you.
And Nerida, have I got that right?
You sure do.
Now, what do you actually do as part of the Sleaze Ball? It's kind of like a co-op, isn't it, I guess?
So. It is. I'm a part of the, well, we both are a part of the party working group. So, you know, we get together weekly and have a bit of a powwow, get our creative ideas and juices flowing and try and put together a good party.
Right. Now, the theme this year, if I'm not incorrect, as I normally am on the Naked City, is the circus, a.k.a. the Zirkus. Now, why spelt with a Z?
Sexier.
Is it?
Sexier, going for the German feel.
Right. So it's a kind of debauched cabaret-type circus,
That's
is
exactly
it?
Yeah. Right. It's going to be a bit of an underground, German, twisted human circus.
Okay. It's always been a bit different, our sleaze balls. They're a little bit underground, a little bit just off the main street.
So tell us a little bit about the circus theme this year.
Well, we've got over 100 performers.
That's a lot.
Huge, absolutely huge. Ranging from heaps and heaps of DJs, obviously. It's a dance party first and foremost. But then roving performers, all of the things that you'd expect to see at a carnival, plus those aerial artists. There's three main stage performances with some fantastic
So it's a three-ring circus, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And it's just huge.
Are people encouraged to, like, dress up in the circus theme? Or
Absolutely. Oh. We've got a kind of a costume pageant called Project Sleazeway, which has been judged by three of Australia's fashion editors. We've got Harper's Bazaar represented, Famous, all of these huge magazines are all going to be judging costumes, because the key thing about Sleaze Ball is the ball part, and people do dress up and take it very seriously with a huge prize to about $3,000 worth of stuff to give away. For best costumes and things like that, yeah.
People do tend to take, put a lot of effort into dressing up for Sleaze Ball. It is the premier costume party of the year.
And what about animals? You haven't been able to sort of get any elephants?
Coffin. there was a bit of debate as to whether we would have, you know, monkeys running around on stage, elephants. We can't give too much away.
Right.
And also after that dreadful APEC thing of setting up their own little zoo, you know, you just sort of think, should we be treating the animals in this regard? Now, listen, the Sleaze Ball, how far back does it go?
It's been, this is its 26th year, so it's one of the oldest dance parties in Australia, only sort of picked by our other one that Mardi Gras does, which is the Mardi Gras party after the parade, which is 30 next year. So.
I think the first one was at Paddington Town Hall.
Yeah, that's right.
Back in
Were
the
you there,
80s.
Coffin?
No, I wasn't, but I can remember.
A wild old
And it was
party.
A fairly low-key event back then, wasn't it, I think? Yeah. Yeah.
But now it's become, you know, people literally fly in from overseas for this ball, don't they?
Absolutely.
It's a really big calendar date on the yearly events. Gee whiz. Oh, we should go down there, Miss Death, I think.
Should we?
Now, if people need more information, I take it there's a website.
They can check out the Mardi Gras website, which is www.mardigras.org.au, and that'll click you through to tickets. Tickets are through Ticketek, and
everything you need to know, maybe some costume ideas.
Yes, there's costume
Are clowns
ideas.
Encouraged?
Clowns are encouraged, not conventional clowns. We'd like there to be a bit of a twist.
Nothing want conventional.
Clowns are scary at best.
They can be.
Yeah, I know.
Sexy clowns, sleazy clowns.
And what about the capacity this year? It's obviously, it's out at the showground, is that right?
It's at the Entertainment Quarter.
Yeah.
And, it's formerly
called the old showground.
The old showground.
Yeah.
So many names.
Don't head out towards Homebush.
No.
Whatever you do.
I don't regard Homebush as
No,
a
I know you there. Don't, but everybody else does.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we'll be taking over the Horden.
Yeah.
The Forum and the Dome.
Right.
Good
There's
God.
The and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
That is massive.
So does it normally sell out, the Sleaze Ball?
Yes.
It does.
So get your tickets early. It's on next week, isn't it?
Next
Saturday night. Yeah. Oh,
and
that's what we've got to compete with.
How many people do you expect? How many people go through the Sleaze Ball?
I think this year expecting about 8,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. Exciting.
Twisted little freaks.
What about celebrities?
And if you don't get lucky on that night, you ain't never going to get lucky.
That's right. Mm. You've got big problems.
Yeah.
Do any sort of notable people like Clover Moore ever come out to the sleaze ball?
Clover has been known to enjoy a couple of parties.
Having a bit of a boogie.
She has.
Mm.
But there's always, there's a lot of local identities that really look forward to.
Seeing it's an election year, do you think that Kevin Rudd might drop in, you know?
Yeah, he did call for some costume ideas.
Really?
No. Maybe.
Bit of pole dancing.
They do those people with such media profiles, they'll go in a mask, won't they? And you can't tell who they are, but you are mingling with them.
Well, this is the beauty of sleazeball. You can really maintain your anonymity.
Mm. You might even see Gough and Margaret Whitlam sort of shuffle in there.
Sexy. Pensioner sex.
Oh, sick all over?
The Naked City. The Naked City.
Well, how would you feel?
You say, what is it? Well, it's The Naked City, of course, sponsored by Sydney Film School. Come on, challenge the status quo, people. SydneyFilmSchool.com.
How are you, Delilah?
Good, how are you, Chris?
Now, there's four of us in the studio. You're actually talking to Jay Katz. Coughned is Chris's name today for taxation purposes. Miss Death and Gabriel, and it's an absolute pleasure to finally have you on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a joy, girl. Now, Delilah, where do we start with this Coughened?
Well, Delilah, we actually played a track of yours earlier on that you recorded with Johnny Hartsman on the west coast of America, Packing Up.
I know. I wrote that song.
Did you really?
I wrote that song, and I'm all the way on this side of the world, and I did the Manly Blues and Jazz Festival, and a guy came up to me and said, are you the same Delilah? And I said, yes. And he says, well, I got your CD. I said, that's impossible. I mean, I was about 19 years old when I wrote that song.
Wow.
Well, you know?
You know what? Chris Coughened actually brought in the original single, Delilah. So it's not a CD. He's got the single here.
My goodness. God works in mysterious ways.
Mm. Now, you were born in East Baltimore, Delilah.
I was born in East Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a John Hopkins Hospital baby, and I was born to a mother that was 13 years old when she conceived me.
Wow.
Good God.
I had a sister.
Yeah. Is your mum still alive? Or?
My mum passed away about 5 years ago.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And what actually brought you to Australia?
Well, the first time I came to Australia, I was actually working at the Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas.
Right.
My management at that time, through another person called Randy Costa, who was a comedian. He was Australian, actually. He used to come backwards and forth. And I came out through a group, I won't call the names, a management group. And they worked me around the clubs, and I worked at a place called the Lido in Melbourne. Remember that place?
Yeah, the Lido was famous.
Mm. Yes, and he had all these waterfalls. And it was in a Las Vegas show, like Viva Las Vegas. And from then, I went overseas again. And then I was brought back out as one of the stars of The Wiz.
Oh, yeah.
The theater production. And I actually played two roles. I played Aunt Em, the old lady. And then I came back as Glinda. And it's the same as the CD, Packing Up. Al Tin Man was Victor Willis, who went back and became the lead singer of the Village People.
Really?
And he's
the one that wrote all his songs.
Mm.
And he was so healthy then. And now I hear he's just getting in and out of trouble all the time. I don't know.
You know what these men are like, darling?
It's not just the men, honey. I think it's the profession.
Yeah, has a tendency to do that to you, doesn't it?
Well, you got things coming from every direction in your life.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And you got other people handling all your business. I mean, this is the first time in my life that I feel like I'm being Delilah, the person who is taking responsibility for Delilah, the person.
You're in control of your own life.
I'm in control of my own life, but also I think you got to go all the way back if you can and hold a mirror in front of your face and bring some tissues with you and go back and take that little child within you. Mm. You know, we all got that little child.
Mm.
And that little child...
I'm living with one.
Are you, darling?
Yes, it's me, Delilah.
Good? Excuse me. Are you guys all right?
Yeah, we're fine.
good on you. Just so you enjoy it. It's not what you do. It's the how
it's
you
how
do it.
How you do it.
Now, Delilah, it's fair to say that during the 90s, you haven't really played all that much, have you?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I decided to... I was discovered to do this the gospel stuff. I was sitting out singing one day in a pub, and Ian Lawrence, who's my producer, who has the Elemental Choir and Jonah and the Wailers, and he says, you need to sing gospel. And I says, well, that's what I come from. And my grandfather, who I love dearly, this man died at 49 years old from a heart thing that they could fix today.
Mm. Oh,
and I watched him. I watched him die. So that was a dramatic part in my life. But I remember before he got real ill, I'd come down the steps, and he would say, here comes Boodlum, because I would always throw my shoes down the steps first, and then I'd follow. And he says, nobody touch Boodlum. And all of a sudden, it would be my mom and my uncle and my cousin and my grandpapa, and he'd start humming. Mm-hmm. And he used to sing things like, were you there when they crucified my Lord? So I had this gospel thing, and he loved the gospel. Yeah. And I didn't realize until I went back to where I came from, which was Baltimore, and I left there when I was about 12. My mother and them brought me away to California. And I went all the way back to my grandfather's grave for the first time in all those years since I was 7. And I was still searching for where I wanted to be. And it's Australia. For whatever reason.
Now, during the 1980s, you were a regular on Australian TV, weren't you? You were cropped up on all sorts of game shows.
I certainly was. Yeah. I was a regular on Mike Welsh. Actually, Mike Welsh is the one that sort of started me off.
Mm.
You know, I was in The Wiz, and we went there to do a promotion for The Wiz. And he said to me, he says, you should start doing this show. And I sort of loved Mike for that. And but they could, because I had that television background, I mean, I used to do TV shows in Vegas, but I was also in Hong Kong in between before I came back to Australia for The Wiz, and I had my own weekly television show, which a lot of people don't realize.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, well, that's how I met all your stars, like your cricket team and people like that, you know? I would interview different people. I had a variety show in Hong Kong for the Rediffusion Network, the English channel, called Just Delilah. So I've also starred in a couple of Hong Kong movies with Run Run Shaw.
Wow. Oh, really?
Productions, you know?
Ooh. What were the name of those films?
One of the films was called Desire, and I got some stuff like that.
Beautiful.
Sitting around. Also, I was also a John Robert Powell's model, but not catwalk. I've done a lot of magazine stuff, which I still got a lot of that.
Oh,
you understand?
God.
Wow.
Because where I came from, and when I started my career out in San Francisco, I was on my own. I mean, it was like I was poison to the family, because nobody would have went out and done that but me. And my uncle told me that before he died last year.
People do associate you with some famous commercials during the 1980s. The voice of Campbell's Cash and Carry.
Yes.
We used to love that.
Yeah.
I tell you, in that situation, it was exciting. Because I thought, oh, well, this will help my singing career. You know, I moved to another step. But I think I was making so much money for that situation that nobody cared about that other step.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. I'm dealing with, you know, singleton and people like that, you know. But the positive part about it is that I'm a bit dyslexic. The point is that through that, I had to actually learn to read auto cubes. Mm-hmm. Auto cue thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like the newsreader.
Yeah.
Which meant that I had to be an actress too.
Right.
And I was told many years ago I was an actress.
Mm.
You understand? And now I know I'm an actress.
You've done it.
Well, you know, Campbell's Cash and Carry, everyone knows it. It still rings off their lips. And it was because of your persona in those commercials.
Absolutely.
You were just so on, honey. It was incredible.
I know. I give myself credit for that because... It was something new. I did it well.
Oh, you did it brilliantly.
Can you remember any of the lines from those
commercials? Oh, yeah. You got to have this card. You got to be in a legitimate retail business club or association. You just got to have this card.
That's beautiful.
But, you know, it was a mixed emotion going on when I went out, you know.
The chances of meeting a dinosaur in today's world are very slim.
The Naked City.
This monster is venereal disease.
Wake up, humanity. Don't you know where you are? You're walking the streets of the Naked City, and we're proudly brought to you by Sydney Film School, a community of artist filmmakers and a production house for high-quality films and documentaries. Get your creative rushes now. SydneyFilmSchool.com.
One of the highlights of this year's very varied and... Well, I'm lost for words there, yes. But the cinema calendar in Sydney this year was the Horror Film Fest at the Chevelle Cinema in Paddington.
Yes, it was.
RSL. And one of the organisers of the Film Fest, a good friend of the Naked City, is with us online.
Dr. Bertram.
Dr. Bertram. Mm. Dr. Dean Bertram. Can you hear us, Dean? He's disappeared.
Hello.
No, have you got that switch switched over, Coffinhead?
Hello?
Dr. Dean.
Hi, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Coffinhead is so on the ball today, it's amazing. He could do the Richard Glover show. Now, Dean, what's happening with the Short Horror Film Festival?
Well, this year, actually, we're not the Short Horror Festival anymore. We're taking features as well.
Yeah.
Really?
So now it's just a Night of Horror Film Festival as opposed to the short that it was last year. So we're still dedicated to short films, of course, but we're also incorporating features, which is...
Fantastic.
Yeah,
if there are any out there.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to achieve today. I'd like to see some more Australian features and more Australian shorts. I mean, we're an international festival, so we take submissions from all around the world, and they're pouring in from overseas.
Great.
It would be nice to see some more Aussie entries.
Hello? Hello? Is anybody out there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
What are you people doing?
How do people go about actually getting their film into the festival?
Sure. Well, they can visit us online at www.anightofhorror.com.
Right, and when is the deadline? When do these have to be in by?
Well, like most festivals, we have a staggering deadline. I mean, in the sense that there is one deadline that comes in October the 5th, which isn't too far away, but the final deadline isn't until December 17th, so people still have plenty of time to get their films in.
To make a film?
Absolutely. Certainly to make a short.
Yeah.
Very short, short.
And can you sort of explain the broad genre of horror films that you're looking for, Dean?
Well, I mean, obviously, we'd love to see a broad variety of films because there are so many out there. So everything from zombie films to what sort of is gornography today, I suppose, to traditional type slasher films.
Gornography? Is that a new genre?
Yeah, that's
it?
A new... You know films like Hostel and Saw,
right.
And there's a film called Captivity, but even Wolf Creek, those films which show extreme violence.
Yawn.
What about the...
Not a fan, Miss Dead.
What about Inconvenient
Gabriel,
Truth?
Yeah.
Is that gornography?
It's borderline, certainly.
Hey, watch it.
So, I mean, run us through the list of the categories for it.
Okay, well, we have obviously just short horror films. We have feature films. We're also taking horror music videos or horror-themed music videos.
Like Thriller.
Yeah. There's a lot of, obviously, heavier bands out there and goth bands that have horror components in their clips, which we love to see. We have some fascinating clips from overseas, actually, including one from Norway, which is amazing. But, I mean, last year, as you probably remember, we did screen thematically. So we had a shocking grindhouse exploitation session.
Yes.
We had a zombie session.
Yes.
We had a supernatural session. We played an animated session. And I think we had a slasher vampire section as well. And they were all, I mean, it's nice to have that niche out there because some people do prefer a zombie film. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Dean, when is the festival planned for next year?
The festival is going to run in April of next year, so it's running from the 2nd to the 6th in Sydney next year.
Okay. That's not the long weekend, the Easter long weekend.
No,
we
purposely avoided
that. Yeah, don't
that
do that.
No, absolutely.
Because people go to church for Easter.
Absolutely.
You're kidding me. Listen, where are you going to hold it this year?
Well, as you know, we were at the Chevelle last year, and we were also, as I think Coffinetti said a minute ago, we were at for the awards night at Paddington RSL. This year, we're probably going to have a couple of venues as well, and we're hoping to be able to even do a few screenings with you guys at the Meson.
Yeah,
oh, we'd love you to.
You know, the Meson Archives definitely should have a component of the horror film.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you guys you've been doing the underground genre type stuff in Sydney better than anybody for years, so
it's
a real shame not to have you involved again.
Absolutely.
Well, the thing is, too, we're just so lonely for friendship and company that we always open up a lounge room up to the public every week.
I thought I was enough for you, Cass.
Not enough, Miss Death.
Okay, let's have some news before we haven't got
have
long
to get
go
out of here.
Okay, high on LSD and amphetamines, a man who broke into his neighbour's home west of Brisbane and used her vacuum cleaner and a detergent bottle as a sex aids has avoided jail.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
So what was he doing at the time?
It's up to you. He broke in, vacuum cleaner
bottle.
And a detergent bottle as sex aids. Let's not. It's the mind boggles. All right, mystery goo. A mysterious, greasy goo of unknown origin is seeping into garages and basements near San Francisco's Balboa Park. Wednesday, Mooney said it doesn't know what the substance is and referred KTVU to the city sewer department. The sewer department said it's a matter for the health department, while the health department theorised that the substance is antifreeze but claimed it was up to the residents to figure out what it is.
It's a remake of the vampire blood.
Absolutely.
Now, has that ever happened to you when you were living in the States, green goo?
I was born in New Jersey and half of my body's green goo.
Okay.
Right, okay.
All right, one after another. Six Egyptian men died, one after another, as they descended into a rural septic tank in a failed attempt to rescue a 17-year-old who had entered the tank to fix a drainage problem. Security sources and a family member said the youth also died yesterday after he succumbed to fumes and fell into sludge at the bottom of the tank in the village of Rifa near the southern city of Asut. The sources said. Now, what happened was he went in, he didn't come out. Mum went to investigate, called the neighbour. The neighbour came over, checked it out, couldn't get him. And the neighbour got his son to go in as well. So they went in. So that's three in there. And then they didn't come out. So she went and got another neighbour. And that neighbour and his two brothers went in. It's just, you know.
It's like the March of the Lemmings.
Imagine dying in your own excrement.
Not your own. Your own would be all right. It's everybody else's that's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. Hey, DHS watching you. What you read. International travellers concerned about being labelled a terrorist or drug runner by secret Homeland Security algorithms may want to be careful what books they read on the plane.
Already.
Newly revealed records show the government is storing such information for years. So, Cats, you need to be careful what you take on the plane with you from now on.
It's literature. They're actually observing it.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Anal retentive.
How about I do the next one? Ready for action. Nashville, Tennessee. An electric chair slated to be used in the state's first execution by electrocution since 1960 was tested Monday and is ready to go, prison officials said.
Well, you thought you were going to do better than me.
No.
Get away from me.
Okay.
Go on.
They're actually going to do mass executions over there. They're getting an electric couch. Three at a time.
Couch potatoes gone. Gerbils in space. The small mammals are being kept in special cages with a supply of nuts and cereals. Mm. Day and night will be simulated and special machines will clean their excrement in the weightless condition. So they're sending them into space, gerbils, as opposed to sending them into people's underpants. Into inner space, they're going instead of inner space.
It's a great shout out to the giant space hamsters in the 80s Dungeons & Dragons supplement. Once again, the geekiest reference I've probably made on this show.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they go and they become part
of. Well, I'll tell you what, life does get a bit,
monotonous.
Well, up on the International Space Station up there, and there's not too many women up there, I don't think.
So, what, they need to put gerbils in their underpants?
Yeah.
Okay. Cut and run. A man.
I've got one in my underpants.
There's one
right
in there now, don't worry.
A man awaiting trial on child sex charges in the southern U.S. state of Arkansas tried to saw off his right leg in an apparent escape bid, police said today. Now, where was he going to go once he sawed his leg off? Where was he going to run? Anyway.
Get to the next story. It's the biggie. I love this story.
Okay, Peru. Meteorite crash causes mystery illness. A meteorite has struck a remote part of Peru and carved a large crater that is emitting noxious odours and making villagers ill. According to local press reports, a fireball streaked across the Andean sky late on Saturday night and crashed into a field near...
Machu Picchu.
Whatever. Anyway, a sparsely populated highland wilderness near Lake Titicaca on the border of Bolivia, witnesses said. The orange streak and loud bang were initially thought to be a plane crashing. When farmers went to investigate, however, they found a crater at least 10 metres wide and 5 metres deep, but no sign of wreckage. The soil around the hole appeared to be scorched and there was a strange odour. A local health department official, Jorge?
Jorge Lopez.
Lopez, Tol Perú's RPP Radio. Later, the farmers complained... Don't interrupt me. Later, the farmers complained of headaches and vomiting. Police who went to investigate the crater were also stricken with nausea, prompting authorities to dispatch a medical team that reached the site the other day.
So very similar to that septic tank story, basically.
Yes, I thought the theme was gooey, oozy, foul-smelling substances.
There was actually another two stories about poo and people dying and stuff.
I give humankind about a week until we succumb totally to the alien virus.
Sick all over?
The Naked City.
The Naked City.
Well, how would you feel?
You say, what is it? Well, it's The Naked City, of course, sponsored by Sydney Film School. Come on, challenge the status quo, people. SydneyFilmSchool.com.